Oh, thank you, sir.
Every day you do. What was your name again?
Jagannath.
Thank you, Jagannath.
Hare Krishna.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya
बिहारी जय जय राधे जय जय श्याम जय जय श्री वृंदावन नंदा जय जय राधे जय जय श्याम जय जय श्री वृंदावन नंदा जय जय राधे जय जय श्याम जय जय श्री वृंदावन धाम राधे जय जय श्याम जय जय श्री वृंदावन जय गौर निताय गौर निताय गौर निताय जय गौर निताय जय प्रभुपादा 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 तिल प्रभुपादा जय प्रभुपादा 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 तिल प्रभुपादा जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परवराजगचार्य अस्तत सतसि सिमत हिस्तिवायंगरे शिला अबे चरणारविंद शिल भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी महाराज ओ शिल प्रभुपाद की जय आनंद कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय इस कन्फाउंडर आचार्य शिल प्रभुपाद की जय समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय गौर प्रेमानंदी हरि हरि बोल All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to C.C. Guru and Shigaranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namam Vishnu Badaya Krishna Vastaya Bhutale Samadvati Anta Swami Tiyami. Namaste Hiza Sajdiya Gami Chanya Sera Sumiri Skadaya. So Hare Krishna. I want to also greet my radio audience. I know of one, Deva Vrata, please be greeted. Hare Krishna. So today we will have most properly the concluding part of our little seminar, How to See Krishna Behind Everything. Maybe there is another possibility, then I have just something in store, but we can safely conclude today I must tell you candidly that this really might be the most important part of this lecture series. Yes? Vidyananda Prabhu is helping me with my English, so series, isn't it? Not quite right. Because we will try to look at how to walk the verse. In other words, how to put it into a practical application. We will look what qualities we can develop that will help us to apply the wonderful and wonderful but also challenging teaching, so that it's easier to really practice seeing Krishna behind everything and becoming more Krishna conscious. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yes. We read today from the 6th canto, chapter 11, text 24. Please repeat. Aham Hare Tava Padaikamula Dasanudaso Bhavitasmi Buya Manaha Smaritasu Patea Gunangste Grinita Vak Kar Vak sorry Karma Karotu Kaya Aham Harita Vapadai Kamula Dasanudaso Bhavitasmi Buya Manak Smarita Supate Gunangste Grinita Vakarma Karotukaya. Aham Harita Vapadai Kamula Dasanudaso Bhavitasmi Bhuya Manasmarita Supate Gunangste Grinita Vakarma Karotukaya Yes, please. Vapadai Kamula Thank you. Mataji's, please. Tegunangste Grini Tavakarma Karotikaya Aham I Hare, O my Lord, Dava of your Lordship, Bhara Ekamula, whose only shelter is the lotus feet. Dasanudasa, the servant of your servant. Bhavitasmi, shall I become? Bhuyaha, again. Manaha, my mind. Smarita, may remember. Asupate, of the Lord of my life. Gunan, the attributes. Te, of your Lordship. Grinita, may chant. Vak, my words. Karma, activities of service to you. Karotu, may perform. Kayaha, my body. This verse which we are reading today needs to be understood in its beautiful context. The context is that once there was a great devotee. His name was Maharaj Shitra Ketu. And by the Lord's arrangement, a merciful arrangement, he came into a situation where he unintentionally offended Parvati, the wife of Lord Shiva. He didn't mean it, and Lord Shiva didn't understand it like this, but Parvati felt so hurt by a comment which Shitra Ketu had made, that she cursed him to become a great devotee. Now, in the purport, that she cursed him to become a great demon, an antagonist. In the purport to this narration, the acharyas, including Srila Prabhupada, make comments where they point out that the Lord wanted Chitra Ketu to come back to him quite quickly, and therefore he put him in a situation where he would go through a demoniac life of Vritrasura. And then he was actually going for battle against Indra. And Indra was empowered to actually kill him, and in this way Chitraketu could go back home, back to Godhead. And it's a very interesting, Chitraketu understood it immediately, that this is the plan. I have to now become a demon for one lifetime, oops. But this is a plan of the Lord to somehow let me go through this experience and then quickly take me back home, back to Godhead. So as Vritrasura was, so to say, on his, just before leaving, Indra was there, and Indra was actually powerless to kill him at that stage of the battle. Vritrasura remembered in his mind, oh, I want to go back, I want to go back, Indra, do your work, please do it quickly, although it may be, he didn't say, but, I mean, who likes to die, although it may be painful, please do it quickly, I want to go through this, and then go back home, back to Godhead. A very moving prayer, he says, which, as we soon will find out, gives the sum and substance of devotional life. Please listen very attentively to this most beautiful prayer, which is very, very moving, actually. And imagine the scene. He has experienced so much hardship. He actually became a demon. And now he aspires really to finish this abstruse and difficult life in this world, where you can become a demon, where things go really wrong, and aspires to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the Lord is very moved by this, and Prabhupada says, the Lord therefore arranged for him to go back to Godhead after his bodily bondage was destroyed by Indra. So here is the verse. O my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, will I again be able to be a servant of your eternal servants who find shelter only at your lotus feet? O Lord of my life, may I again become their servant so that my mind may always think of your transcendental attributes. My words always glorify those attributes, and my body always engage in the loving service of your Lordship. Will I again be able? Purport. This verse gives the sum and substance of devotional life. One must first become a servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord, Dasanudasa. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised, and he also showed by his own example, that a living entity should always desire to be a servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, the maintainer of the gopis. Gopi Bhatu Pada Kamalayo Dasa Dasanudasa. This means that one must accept a spiritual master who comes in the disciplic succession and is a servant of the servant of the Lord. Under his direction, one must then engage one's three properties, namely his body, mind and words. These are our three properties, body, mind and words. The body should be engaged in physical activity under the order of the master. The mind should think of Krishna incessantly, and one's words should be engaged in preaching the glories of the Lord. If one is thus engaged in the loving service of the Lord, one's life is successful. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Prachadine
Nivesesha shunyavadi paskatyare satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna.
So let us please hear the verse again. We can sing it together because it's so nice in one go. Aham Hare Tava Padai Kamula Dasanudaso Bhavitasmi Bhuya Manas Marita Supate Gunangste Grinita Vakarma Karotikaya. Translation. O my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, will I again be able to be a servant of your eternal servants who find shelter only at your lotus feet? O Lord of my life, may I again become their servant, so that my mind may always think of your transcendental attributes. My words always glorify those attributes, and my body always engage in the loving service of your Lordship. In our little meditation contemplation during these morning classes, we have come upon a statement of the Srimad Bhagavatam which Srila Prabhupada describes as the guide of all devotees. The statement makes a similar point which is picked up here by Vritrasura. The statement goes like this. My dear Lord, any person who is constantly awaiting your causeless mercy to be bestowed upon him and who goes on suffering the resultant actions of his past misdeeds, offering you respectful obeisances with three items. He should do this with his heart, that means the mind. This is voice, and then vapu means with the body. Who's engaged like this surely becomes eligible to become liberated, for it has become his rightful claim. In another translation, Srila Prabhupada mentions the three things. So here also, Vritrasura prays, may I again become the servant of Lord Krishna's eternal servants, so that my mind may always think of your transcendental attributes, my words always glorify those attributes, and my body always engage in the loving service of your Lordship. Srila Prabhupada, he clarifies how to engage body, mind, and words. He says the body should be engaged in physical activity under the order of the Master. The mind should always think of Krishna incessantly, and one's words should be engaged in preaching the glories of the Lord. If one is thus engaged in the loving service of the Lord, one's life is successful. My dear devotees, to engage these three properties which we have, this is what we have in this world. The other things we might also have, but this is really our main properties, body, mind, and words. If we engage them like this, do something with our physical senses for the Lord, think of Krishna, and speak about the glories of the Lord, then we are on the safe side, even though we may go through some resultant reactions of our previously performed activities. So a devotee who keeps on, even in adverse conditions, to act like this for Lord Krishna, becomes actually an inheritor of a very beautiful inheritance. Sometimes when we think of inheritance, our mind waters, or our mouth waters. Then we forbid ourselves the activity, because to get an inheritance is associated or possible only with the death of a near and dear one. So we say, don't think about this even in your dreams. But here is an inheritance for all of us, which we really should make us enthusiastic. It's the inheritance that we will be one day promoted to the kingdom of God. Sanatana Goswami comments this word, dayabhag, the inheritance of a devotee who patiently suffers the resultant reactions and just goes on serving Krishna. He comments like this on this inheritance. Just like a son simply has to stay alive to get the inheritance from his father, similarly, one simply has to stay alive in Krishna consciousness. That is all. Following, yes, and then one will be promoted to the kingdom of God. My dear devotees, it's sometimes so difficult, even especially when hardships strike us and come our ways, or misunderstandings, or lack of enthusiasm, and sometimes we are even struggling to follow the four simple regulative principles, and they become like big Himalayan mountains in our lives. But simply stay alive in your Krishna consciousness. Remain attempting and giving your level best. You just have to do that and stick, so to say, with the process. You will get your inheritance, just like a son. He only has to stay alive, and then he will get the inheritance from his dear father. So, in this way, this is something to think about. Now, as we think about this verse, to stay alive in Krishna consciousness by engaging body, mind, and words in Krishna's service, we develop certain qualities and attitudes which are important. When you walk this verse, that you simply go on in your Krishna conscious activities, and in this way stay alive in your spiritual life, you will develop very nice qualities which will, which will attract Krishna's mercy very quickly. Krishna is described in one of his name is Madhusudan. He's like a honeybee who is attracted to a certain honey in the heart of his devotees. Just like a ordinary honeybee will hover around the flowers, being irresistibly attracted to their honey, the Krishna becomes attracted to certain qualities of his devotees, which the devotee develops as he lives the verse Tatenu Kampam Susubhikshamanam. For instance, there's one quality that is tolerance, which a devotee certainly develops. When something happens, he says, I will just go on. And he will become a little tolerant. He will think, I deserve to suffer much more. this is the exact opposite of the materialistic mentality, where whenever something little happens, you are immediately out to adjust it. I must defend myself. I must, I have a little irritation in the skin. Now I will get 25 different balms and smear them at the same time on the skin to adjust this little skin rash or irritation. This tolerance which a devotee develops as he contemplates about the verse is a totally opposite to the materialistic endeavors to adjust material life to your utmost comfort. Also, you stop thinking that this is not fair which happened to me. I should be glorified. When does the world wake up to the fact that I'm a sinless, pious saint or saintly lady? You become a little tolerant. Well, I deserve to suffer much more. And in some ways it must be fair, otherwise it wouldn't be happening. This, after all, I live not in a chaos, but in a cosmos. There are rules which govern everything here. Traffic rules of and so on, of universal justice. So, and the other thing is, you will continue to look on, you will ultimately realize by what is happening to you that really the only person who can help you is Krishna. Prabhupada once said, told about the immature reaction to suffering, where a devotee will say like this, "Oh, why did this happen to me? I will get another Lord. This is not fair." No. A devotee who is tolerant will understand, it is all right, it is fair. And I keep on believing in Krishna, that he is behind everything, and go to him. In this context, we are reminded of a prayer which I believe comes from the anonymous alcoholics. I'm not 100% sure, but I believe I heard it in this context. It goes like this. It's very nice. "God, please give me the strength to tolerate what I can't change. Please give me the courage to change what I should change, and the discrimination of wisdom to know the difference between what I have to tolerate and what I can change." This is a free Sachinanda Swami translation. I don't remember it literally, but it was something like this. "Please, God, give me the strength to tolerate what I can't change, the courage to change what I should change, and the discrimination of wisdom to know the difference between the two." So a devotee who just becomes tolerant to whatever happens to him develops a very, very nice quality. Tolerance is only possible really when you develop your dependence on Krishna. That, "Please, my dear Lord, I have to go through this. It is very hard for me. It is unspeakable hard for me." But you know, in the tolerant mood, you don't protest. "Why did this happen to me? But you're tolerant. You say, "Please allow me to now log onto your webpage, my Lord, to be connected with you very, very nicely. Let us understand there is philosophical ground for this tolerance. Because let us again remember a very important philosophical understanding. Whatever happens in this world is caused by you in some life, in some other activity. Although you may now look very innocent, there must be something in you which you have done which has caused this. I remember once Hridayananda Maharaj gave an example about one TV serial called The Little Gangsters. And there was a little dwarf-like gangster, apparently. He had stunted growth. And he was a grown-up person who had criminal tendencies. So he asked his complices, his associates, to put him into a cradle. Is it called cradle where the mother goes? You know, this cradle, but on wheels. Yeah, the mothers know. Whatever. You have all enthusiastically offered the right word. I couldn't hear it, but you know what I mean. This little car-like device which you push and so on. So the little gangster was in there. He had the little baby hood, you know, and he was, they rolled him into a park, into a very lonely spot, and then they disappeared. So the little gangster was lying there and made the baby sound, Rebbe, Rebbe, Rebbe. And then a wealthy, old, most probably childless American lady came by and heard this pitiful crying in the little, whatever it is, cart or what is it, pushing cart? Stroller, thank you, the stroller. And she went with great compassion, you know, and she had her purse right here, and she came, and oh, you lonely little child. And this was the cue for the little gangster. He took his little iron club and went, bang, to the American lady. She went down, he swiftly jumped out of the car, out of the stroller, and picked up the wealth of this lady at the purse and stuck it in and went into the camera and ran away. So apparently he looked innocent, like a little helpless baby. But as we say in German, he had the sin behind his ears. They were tucked away and so on. And so we are all like this. Sorry to say, it may be unpleasant before our breakfast to hear such a thing, but we are not for nothing in this material world. We have done things, you know, we are now a few years, 30 years, 35 years, 40 years, a devotee. But we are thousands of years, we were something else. So now we may look, and it may be deceiving. We may look in our mirror and say, you're very good. If I look at you, I mean, you have good intentions. I know you. And so on. And that may be also a fact. We should not be harsh. Let us look a little bit more philosophically into our lives. We have something behind our ears from last lives, which is there. So this concept is spoken by Brihaspati to Janamejaya. You know, Janamejaya was totally upset, and he wanted to extinguish all the snakes by a huge snake-killing yagya, because his father, his very good devotee, the emperor Parikshit Maharaj, had been killed by Takshaka, the snake. And he was in a process. He had these brahmanas who were chanting these mantras, and from everywhere in the universe, the snakes came falling into the yagyic fire. He killed them, and
was out to really kill, take all the snakes from this universe. We wouldn't have snakes if he would not have been interrupted. Brihaspati came to Janamejaya, who was really like revenging. He was standing by the yagya, and he saw the snakes coming into the fire from everywhere, screaming snakes. They were coming from out of the air, and they were pulled by the potency of these mantras and devoured mercilessly. And then Brihaspati said, "Stop now, it is enough. The life and death of an embodied soul and his destination in the next life are all caused by himself through his own activity. Therefore, O King, no other agent is actually responsible for creating one's happiness and distress." Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur here says that obviously we can't assume that now Parikshit Maharaj was responsible for his own death by a snake bird. In his case, it was a little different. Krishna wanted the king back to Godhead. But this is a general instruction to Janamejaya, which says that everyone, the life and the death of us, and one's destination, is caused by himself. No one is at fault but me. So if you want to read this very mind-blowing verse, which we wouldn't say to a beginner in spiritual life, you please go to Srimad Bhagavatam 12th canto, 6th chapter, text 25. So it is all right to be tolerant. It is not a weakling's position to be tolerant, but it is a philosopher's position to be tolerant, and a strong person's position to be tolerant. And it is a very, very nice quality which attracts Lord Krishna. Tolerance appears again in the verse which brings us to our perfection in spiritual life. Trinadapi sunichena taro iva sahishnuna. Yes, amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Another quality which develops if you live this verse is, I had it already a little, but it is not taking shelter somewhere else. You really go, even an adversary, to Krishna. There's a very nice pastime of Srila Prabhupada's where he is discussing this in a very interesting way. Srila Prabhupada is riding in a car, and he sees one American car brand before him, Thunderbird. That must be a very fast car. It sounds at least like this. Thunderbird car. Prabhupada, he takes this clue up, Thunderbird. He says, we have this in India also. It is called the Chataka. And the Chataka goes to drink water only at the cloud. He never goes and drinks water from the puddles of water which are on the earth. He never drinks, in other words, earth water, but only cloud water. In the same way, a devotee only goes to Krishna, not to things of this mundane world. He takes shelter only at Krishna's lotus feet, and this endears him. You know, the Chataka bird is such that we are informed he sometimes waits for long time, has to wait for a long time until the monsoon clouds come. He has to be really tolerant and patient. And then he flies when the moon clouds come. The monsoon clouds come. He flies towards them and screams out, "Jaldi! Jaldi!" It sounds something like this. Jaldi. Jaldi means give water, give water. Jaldi, jaldi. Vajra has agreed Jalde means give water. And he then goes, but it's not so easy. Sometimes the cloud where he takes shelter, I mean, he must be very thirsty after summer, it's not just very kind to him. It hurts flashes and thunder, bang, bang, bang. It must be quite, imagine to be in the midst of a cloud when it's so loud. It must be quite intense, you know. And then he drinks from the cloud. So this is how a devotee should ideally be or aspire. And when you live this verse, this is what happens. Even if you are if it's a little tough in your life, you just run to take shelter at Krishna. And this quality makes Krishna so entirely indebted. Look at my devotee. He is having a hard time. But look at him. He's going to me. Krishna is so much moved by this that he is extremely merciful when he sees this quality. Another thing we can learn is gratefulness, the quality of gratefulness as we go through this. Because a devotee understands this is a token reaction which I get. I deserve much more. In the prayers to Queen Kunti, in this lecture series, Srila Prabhupada says when a devotee gets a cut in his finger with a knife, he thinks, in ordinary life, maybe my head would be cut off. But now Krishna has softened the reaction, and in this way I only get so little. There's a very nice lecture by Prabhupada, which I would like to read to you, which deals about this mood of the devotee who is grateful for what he gets. He says, Prabhupada speaks about the Pandava's attractions to Lord Krishna despite his dealings. And Prabhupada says, Krishna is so nice. He's the all-attractive. He hypnotizes his devotees. The Pandavas were Krishna's friend, and Kunti happened to be the aunt of Krishna. So they were well established in their relationship to Krishna. But as a result, they were banished for 12 years into the forest. They lost the game. They were banished. Their wife Draupadi was insulted. They could not but tried to make her naked. They lost their kingdom. So Narada met Krishna and spoke with little criticism. My dear sir, imagine Narada Muni saying to Krishna, my dear sir, by becoming your devotees, the Pandavas are very happy. They lost their kingdom. Their wife is insulted. They are banished. But despite these inconveniences, they have increased their love for you. So Narada was astonished. What kind of hypnotism have you? Prabhupada goes on to explain this. That is Krishna consciousness. The pure devotee is put into difficulty, but they say, or the pure devotees is put into difficulties, but they say, it's Krishna's grace. Tatenu kampam susumikshamanam. I was meant to suffer 100 times more than this due to my bad activities in past life. But you are giving me only a little. That is your grace. This type of gratefulness, I think you must agree with me. It's easy to understand. This melts Krishna's heart. He goes like, wonderful, my devotees, wonderful. And he becomes ready to give them everything quickly. Obviously, sometimes it is difficult to live this type of gratefulness. You know, this almost sounds like in Christianity when I'm not so fixed in the Bible knowledge any longer. When you get one slap on one thing, then you hold your other cheek to get another slap. So gratefulness is sometimes difficult. You get something heavy in your life, and then you say, "Thank you, Krishna." So let us not only talk about the highest principles, let's also talk how to get there. And here Prabhupada offers a very nice general statement, which is for those who take notes or who listen to the classes later on tapes and would like to look it up. It's in the third chapter of text 31 of the Gita. It's very, very helpful. It's an explanation to a verse where Lord Krishna says, "One who executes his duties according to my injunctions." Prabhupada says, acknowledge it's difficult to do everything according to the injunctions of Krishna, and then talks about the philosophers. There are many philosophers who write comments on the Bhagavad Gita but have no faith in Krishna. They will never be liberated from the bondage of fruitive action. But an ordinary man, I think he talks of the struggling devotee, but an ordinary man with firm faith in the eternal injunctions of the Lord, even though unable to execute such orders, becomes liberated from the bondage of the law of karma. In the beginning of Krishna consciousness, one may not fully discharge the injunctions of the Lord, but because one is not resentful of this principle and works sincerely without consideration of defeat and hopelessness, he will surely be promoted to the stage of pure Krishna consciousness. So if you can't always be grateful, "Thank you, my dear Lord, I deserve much more, but you have given me much less than I deserve," then don't be resentful to the principle. Understand, I can't figure it out just now how I have to be grateful. It's so tough. I'm on my knees. The tears are coming. And so on. But there must be some universal justice. I may be the little gangster who is not obviously a gangster, who looks very attractive with his baby hood and so on and innocent. But there must be something. And I'm very thankful that I got it in a way I can still live with it and so on. If you do like this, keeping your faith in Krishna alive and not losing your faith, you will purchase Lord Krishna by these qualities. I would like to end something, end by making another very, I hope, relevant comment. We are discussing what qualities we can develop when we live the verse. And we spoke of tolerance and patience, of gratefulness and faithfulness, and so on. But I would also say something else, which is a little bit more psychological. See, we live in a culture where hardships and austerities are not in vogue. And because this ocean of the secular civilization surrounds us, somehow it is natural that we may become a little influenced by this. We do not like austerities and hardships by our nature, and we have this instinctive tendency to run away from it and flee from it. I think Lakshmi Moni Mataji was talking about this tendency. But there is an interesting analysis observation about hardship, which is, if you understand it, which makes it appear in a totally different light. The devotees really don't object when there is hardship, but they find that in the end such sufferings bring unlimited pleasures. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives now a few examples why hardships are really not all that hard when you look with a certain perspective. Our young ladies know this first example very well. If you apply an eye ointment, it stings at the beginning, but afterwards you can see much clearer. I do not know if you have such eye ointments. Maybe now they have eye ointments with painkillers in it. I can imagine that these are... But I have practical experience because, as you know, when you become older and you have read a lot, you develop some either long-sightedness or short-sightedness. And there is an Ayurvedic treatment, it's called Tapana, where you go and they put, it's very effective to make you see very clear. And I took it last year, and my eyes are not really bad. It's normal for an old man to use reading glasses. So what they do is they make a dough wall, a wall out of dough around your eyes, and then they say, Hari Bol, now you have to suffer a little bit. And they put some, no, first they ask you to close the eyes, and then they put some liquid over your eyes. They are like lakes, little lakes of liquid, which now rest on your eyes. It doesn't run away because of the wall, which is made from chapati dough. So then they say, very slowly now. You want to have a good eyesight, isn't it? Open your eyes. It will be a little piercing. And you go like, close, open, close, open. And it's not intolerable, but it is almost intolerable. And then you do it in the beginning for 2 minutes, then 3 minutes, next day 4 minutes, and so on. And afterwards, you have a vision. You can't believe it. The world looks different. You see colors, snow. You feel I'm walking through fairyland. Krishna's creation is so wonderful. You want to take long walks and see everything totally new. And you're so grateful that this was done, and so on. So this is the example. Sometimes, I think you all know, when you go through an eye, through a suffering, and afterwards you see much more. You're much more learned, much more, and learned is not the word. And I will give two more examples, then the members of our girls' school have to go to prepare for a school program in their house. The second example is going to school. It is so absolutely difficult sometimes. Every cell in your body wants something else than to go to school. I know my father had to hire one man to bring me to school every day, because I would always, on the school way, conveniently slip away and do my favorite activities, which was at that time tree climbing. He had one man, and I heard even Prabhupada had, they had to hire two men even to bring him to school. I heard this. He once autobiographically said this. Yes, but in the long run, I mean, I'm so glad that I made it up to my 15th year in school. Then I ran away from school. But I know I can read now. I didn't learn much English, but a little English I learned in the school. What else? Reading, writing. I use this every day, reading and writing, these skills. And other things. I learned to think about certain philosophies, and you know, it stretches your muscles and so on. So in the beginning, going to school is very hard. But at the end, you will say, oh, how good it was. And you will all, our girls will say, oh, Lakshmi Moni's ashrams. Oh, it was intense, especially when this point came up about the different kinds of possibilities of wearing a zari. It was intense, but in the end, it was good, and so on. By the way, I have no opinion about different zari style, because it's not the business of a sannyasi to think about this. Then what was the other example is, after a long darkness, sometimes light is more appreciated. There are few examples which Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur kindly offers to us to see that suffering is not all that bad. It puts you into a clearer vision and a clearer dimension. So, Hare Krishna, I would like to now request our devotees from our girls' school. You can. It sounds so rush. It's a. You could go now because you have to do your. So that we can start on what was it? 15 minutes before 10 o'clock. And if you have some questions, the devotees, please ask them now. Goodbye. See you soon. Hare Krishna. Yes, please. Your good name, Prabhu?
Kishore Krishna
Prabhu. Yes.
How does one practice tolerance when one has to defend oneself or one has to defend others?
You mean physically or verbally defend?
Both.
Both. How does one practice tolerance when one has to physically or verbally defend oneself or others? Hare Krishna. Hare Bo. Well, we are informed when a devotee is attacked, we have to counter-attack, both physically and verbally, if we have the means. I mean, if we are not the person who can do this, we can always do. You can come from behind when the person doesn't see it. In other words, I have a lot of experience with the old days of defending devotees. You just do it when it's others, and when it's you who is attacked, you should just, you know, not really go into the heavy things if you can, verbally and mentally. But devotees must be defended. It's important. That's what we learned in the old times. But of course, you have to do some self-protection when someone attacks you. There, you know, best is to run away when someone attacks you. You say, "Loo-hoo," and just run away. Why engage? You know, it's so uncultured to engage in a brawl. How to practice tolerance when when devotees are attacked, you should not practice tolerance. I mean, Srila Prabhupada was once giving an example. There was a pandal program, and the devotees were dancing on the stage, and the organizer of the pandal program was fearing for his stage because it was going so intensely, the dance. So he came and began to pull devotees down from the stage so that they wouldn't dance his stage into ashes. Prabhupada was so annoyed, he took his karatas and began to swing his karatas, which is a very fierce weapon, you know, and went towards that organizer who dared to attack the devotees. Hare Krishna. Yes, Nanda Mataji. Yeah.
Can you give some guidelines or words of wisdom so you know which things you can change and you can't change?
Yes.
If anything you want to do causes a struggle, is difficult. So
yeah.
Sometimes you get too passive.
Yes. Nanda Mataji's voices a very important point. He says, could you give some comment or guideline or ideas how to go about this, that there are things which you have to tolerate and you can't change, but there are also things which you can change and even should change. So would you like to, so Nanda Mataji, as far as I understand, please correct me if I misunderstood you, wants to know how to discern and know when you should change something. It's easy to see the things which you can't change, because most probably we have all tried to change. This is a normal human response when something is miserable, and we try to change it and we notice, oops, I tried now for 5 years to change. It doesn't work. So then sometimes we may need to just pray, take full shelter, Krishna. All my means are exhausted. There's a good example of this in the prayers of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who says, I tried so much to control my mind, and so on, but I have come to the end. I know I can't bring any upliftment. You please help me. This type of turning to Krishna, understanding that my spiritual advancement is really not in my hands, is a good example, a very obvious example, and a pleasant example. I think we would like to turn to Krishna and say, I tried so. Obviously, this doesn't mean we stop trying, but it means we go and take total shelter at Krishna. This is something very good to practice. Now, an example of things which you should change is when we have certain instructions of Srila Prabhupada, and in our lives we may not live up to these instructions, or we have also instructions for a community, this Alachua community, in my eyes, is the most exciting project in ISKCON, because really here community can happen. We have so many devotees and we have so many very advanced devotees here, which is unique in the world. And we have ideal circumstances, good weather. We need to work certainly on the economic factor. Our grihasthas need a means of income which is ideally connected with Krishna consciousness. And Kala Kanta has a very, very wonderful idea to invite from Europe a Vastu expert who has trained all over Europe Vastu consultants. And these Vastu consultants earn a lot of Lakshmi by giving a consultant how to build your house, or if it how the house is built, how to arrange it that you will really have a good living comfort. That's a project, and those who are interested might discuss with Kala Kanta about this and find out more about it. So yes, there are some real challenges in the community still, but if anywhere, here is a chance to build really a vibrant Krishna community which has a shield, the givers, before it, then it will work. So, yes. And definitely we know there are instructions of Srila Prabhupada about a Krishna conscious community, which we may not have yet put into full practice. And we have to think, how can we make the community more and more attractive, really, so that all the devotees will just be very happy and have the wonderful Krishna conscious experience here. So we, these things which Prabhupada has isolated and which are maybe not yet in place, I do not know. We should try to change them. This is a very easy answer to your difficult question and a very obvious answer, but I know you want to know the more difficult things. This I think you knew before also. How to know the difference between the things you should tolerate and the things you should change? Nanda, my answer may be unsatisfactory, but if you don't know, speak with good devotees and pray to Lord Krishna. And look for guidance in Srila Prabhupada's books. This is a very general answer, but I really have no other answer. We come sometimes in our lives in very difficult situations, and what can we do? The Lord is our master. We have to turn to Him, and to turn to Him, we go through devotees and through Prabhupada, obviously. First place, and then pray, and we just, please help, it's so difficult. Especially, you know, we should all have great, great sympathy for those who take up management in ISKCON. We should all support our Nanda. It must be not easy, I do not know, but anything, a big community means many people and many things. More things can go wrong than with little people, a little amount of people. So, go through it. And if you don't know, you know, where to change, where to say something, or where not to say and tolerate and so on, have to seek guidance, I guess. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Good. We have come to a natural conclusion. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sisi Gaur Nitai ki jai. Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.